Take your Bibles, if you will, with me, please, then, to the book of Ephesians in chapter number 4. And what a glorious, wonderful passage of Scripture this is. You remember that he starts out in verse 1. Paul says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, come alongside, that you walk worthy of equal value of the vocation wherewith you're called." So each one of them have a particular place in the work of God that he's called them to fulfill. We go on and he talks about the unity. Remember that? Verse 4, there is one body, one spirit. Mentions one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. And then verse number 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Whereon he saith, when he ascendeth up on high, he led captivity captive, gave gifts unto men. And then he talked about the special calling that God has on each individual's lives. That's why it's so important that we have an active youth ministry here, that we help young people realize in the midst of those transition times, whether they're high school, college age, that they're in the thrust of, what do I want to do with my life? Do I want to be a policeman? Do I want to be an architect? Do I want to be a housewife? Do I want to be a nurse? What do I want to do? Do I want to be a missionary? Do I want to be a youth pastor? What do I want to do with my life to help them to realize that God has a calling? Right. And it's okay to dare to dream with God, Romans chapter 5 and verse 2. We understand that. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So we can dare to dream with God about what we would like to do for His glory in this life. It may be to be a police officer. But what a glorious thing when they say, "Lord, if you would like to use me as a missionary or a youth pastor or a pastor's wife or whatever it is." So it's real important that we make certain that we have a program here at almost said temple. I didn't. I almost slipped. At Calvary Baptist Church, where it's conducive, where it enables a setting for young people to be encouraged to sing righteous ambitions before a holy God. Amen. Whether we're talking about kindergarten, whether we're talking about preschool, whether we're talking about all the way up, we need to have that kind of a ministry here. But the only way that's going to happen is those of us who have a few years on us, in our 20s or 50s or 80s, wherever we are in that we make certain that that's our ambition too, to be used of God. Now, with that kind of a foundation, let's go ahead and kind of move down to where we are. Notice, if you will, verse number 12 finishes out the subjects that we finished with last time, where he gave apostles and prophets and pastors, evangelists, so forth, some pastors and teachers. And we finished talking about pastors and teachers being, in my opinion, one and the same office. There are those who are teachers, no doubt about that. And we see that in different passages of Scripture. But in this particular passage, in these particular callings, you remember we talked about it has the definite article in front of some of those, but when it comes in front of all of them, except for pastors and teachers, and it does have the definite article, the, in front of pastors, but it has and teachers without the in front of it. So the way I see my responsibility, as you've invited me to be your pastor, and I believe, Becky and I believe, that God called us here to that same calling, that it's not sufficient for me just to preach the gospel and just be concerned about pastoring and being there when in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 of demonstrating the compassion of God, the comfort coming alongside. That's part of my responsibility. But also, a companion part of pastoring is teaching the whole counsel of God. And whether or not it steps on my toes or whether it just is a blessing to my heart, my responsibility is to teach the whole counsel of God. So we've just finished with that study. Now we're going to embark on the rest. So let's look at it beginning in verse 13. And I'm going to take verses 13 and 14. And then we're going to turn it over to Brother Mills, I believe, is the next one. He's right here in front of me. All right. So let's look at it, and I'm going to ask you, rather than just pass the microphone around, if you'll come up here, that way the live stream folks can see you as you're in the process of dying in front of them, all right? All right, out of embarrassment, all right. No, you're not. You're all courageous men, I have no doubt. And as we ask the Lord's dismissal in prayer, Becky and I are going to leave quickly during the prayer so I don't get stoned before the end of the service. All right. So let's look now at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13. Now again, he's just finished with verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints, here's why he's called these men. For the perfecting or the completion of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and the ministry is work. Amen or no?
It is.
If we who are on staff are not working, we're not fulfilling God's will. For we who are in leadership in the ministry of Calvary Baptist Church, we're not fulfilling God's will. Amen?
Right.
Amen. That we need to be busy about the work of God. But as we're doing that work, we're simply mirroring what he does in our hearts. Doesn't Philippians say, he which hath begun a good what? A good work in you will perform it until the day of? Day of Jesus Christ. So there's no time when we are just set aside and I don't need to be about God's business. You say, now wait a minute, what if someone is bedridden? They can still be about God's business, can they not? Oh, it just changes from maybe the active going out and door to door and other things that are actively involved. Their ministry may be like we talked about Brother Steve last week, I believe it was. What a grand opportunity he has to be a man of prayer. Amen? And we have ladies who are in their senior years and are not able to come. Some are watching by live stream tonight. And you say, Pastor, I would give anything that if I could just be there. But I'm on medicine. And medicine will not allow me to be out in public and whatever. Or maybe I have neuropathy and I can't get out and I can't walk any longer. And I roll around in my bed because of the pain. But I can pray. I can pray for that little preacher that God will not worry about his stature and will help him in his wisdom and will help him in his ability to lead God's people in a godly way so that it encourages them as they're walking in righteousness, but also that God will grant me the wisdom for every member of Calvary Baptist Church, that God will give me the wisdom how to create settings of righteousness where they are so encouraged to mature in Christ. And the food is on the table, so to speak, when they come for the preaching and the teaching. So that as we do that, God enables us. Now, with that in mind, now let's look at the very next verse. So verse number 12 is talking about the here and now. Oh, that's good, isn't it? Here and now. Oh, we have those influences in our lives. Now we come to verse 13. And I'm going to have to pause for just a moment as my eyes get warmed up to the page. And I apologize. I tell you what, would someone read that for me, please? Brother Alan, do you have that microphone with you? Or someone, would you read that? My eyes will probably catch up before you finish, but if you'll do that. Verse 13, would you mind reading it, please?
Till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, and to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ.
All right. Thank you, brother. And for the benefit of those listening and watching live stream, I apologize. I have some retina challenges. And when I look away like I do in the congregation, not every time, but oftentimes when I look back at something that's white, that's bright, I lose it all. I can't make any of it out. But usually within 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 seconds, it clears up. So I apologize for that. It's just something that can't be avoided. But I see perfectly now. Randy Bray is a wonderful fellow. Oh, no, that's not what it says. All right. Okay, let's look now at the Word of God, not the musings of Bray, all right? So for the perfecting of the saints, the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, is that talking about the here and now or when we're with the Lord? What do you think? Okay, help me out. Here and now or when we're in eternity? Here and now. That's why he called them, is because we're here and now. Whoa, put a stop sign up. Put the brakes on because he's going to change direction, as they say in Texas, in a skinny minute. Boom, right here. In my opinion, he is telling us this is what he's doing right here and now so that it's a foretaste, a harbinger. An appetizer, so to speak, of what it's going to be in heaven. Let's look at it again with that in mind. Why does he give the apostles and the prophets and the evangelists and some pastors and teachers? For the perfecting of the saints, the completion of the saints. For the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come. Okay? Now I'll give you an advance notice, my interpretation of this, is he's talking about, and as you read it, that's kind of what I want you to see in it. As we're reading it, it has a direct relevance to what my sister and what my brother is going through right now. And why it's so important that we can have an influence on each other from the Word of God, whether it's from the pulpit ministry or just conversation that's edifying as we edify one another, according to Romans 15 and verse 13. Filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. So as you see it here, though, in verse number 13, in my opinion, he's talking about what it's going to be like when we get to glory. That's why he says, till we all come. Now, he could be talking about coming to church, the church at Rome. But he gives some things embedded in this that help us to understand. He's not just talking about Rome. Till we all come in the unity of the faith. Do all Christians have unity in the faith now? Yes or no? No. We get burrs under our saddles. We get, oh, I believe in pre-trib. I believe in mid-trib. I believe in pre-rat. I believe in... Now, we're not talking about great doctrinal difference. We're talking about when the Lord's going to come back. Because we don't know, do we? The long and short of it, we don't know. We see from the... We have an interpretation. I believe in the pre-trib rapture of the church for a lot of reasons. But just because somebody believes in mid-trib doesn't mean they're a heathen and on their way to the abyss. Okay? So sometimes we're not unified. And sometimes it's okay to not be unified. We just agree to disagree. As you know, in the scriptures that teach about not eating meat, there's three different levels of how we treat each other when we have disagreement about not eating meat or meat offered to idols or whatever. And when we have disagreements, there's three different levels. And the first one is simply, basically, you just agree to disagree and move on and just be brethren and just say, you know what, we'll talk about it again another time. But until then, Lord bless you, my brother. I'm praying for you. And just having good fellowship in other areas. But then the last one talks about how dare we destroy another brother? How dare we do that? And if it's destroying the other brother, you don't eat meat. You put it aside and say, that's not nearly as important that I have the meat that I want to eat than it is in helping my brother to survive this. So that's what he's talking about. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge, that would be a complete knowledge. We don't have that now. And the knowledge of the Son of God, he keeps going, unto a perfect man. Oh, a complete man. Now, that's what we're doing. He says, remember the verse before? He gives us these officers for the perfecting, the ongoing perfection of the church. But now, in verse number 13, he says, unto a perfect, a complete man or a complete woman in Christ. And then notice what he says. He's using the same word in verse 13 that he used in verse number 7. Notice what he says. The perfect man unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You remember what the Bible says in Ephesians 5? Be not drunk with wine where it is excess, but be what? Okay, one more time. Be not drunk with wine where it is excess or debauchery, but be ye what? Filled with whom? Okay, so he's using that term, filled. He's using the wine and the debauchery that's in it that has the properties of intoxication. When it's one drop or a whole keg. It has debauchery, has it in it, and it has the ability to alter your thought. One drop would be just minuscule. It wouldn't be a lot. A keg would be, you'd just be completely soused and would have no reason about you at all. But he says, don't be intoxicated by that, but in contradistinction, but be filled. There's no boundary. You can have all of the Holy Spirit, can have all of you and all of the Holy Spirit. You can just have all of that And it will not be to your demise. It will not be where you're soused or where you're two shades in the wind. No, the more of you the Holy Spirit has, and the more you're walking after the Spirit and you're filled with the Holy Spirit, oh my. Think what it's going to be like when we get to heaven. Oh my. Notice what he says. Unto a perfect man. Now notice what he says, unto the measure. Now, verse number 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. So that's dealing with what God wants to do in your life, sister. Sister over here, what God's wanting, brother, what God's wanting to do in your life, there's a measurement to it. There's a capacity. And God says, I want to use Miss Linda in this way. And so God reaches down into his reservoir of grace gifts, and it's a specific area of ministry, a specific area where God wants to use her. And so out of that reservoir, the specific to that, he brings up the exact measure, not too much, not too little, that Miss Linda's going to need for her to be effective in fulfilling completely what God wants her to do in that responsibility. Does that make sense? Everybody with me, all right? How many understand what I'm saying? Okay. Now, understanding the exactness of the measure of the gift of Christ so that Miss Linda can accomplish what God wants her to accomplish. Now let's look at verse number 13 again. Till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. And notice this. Unto the measure of the stature of the what? Fullness of Christ. He's not saying here be filled with the Holy Spirit. Why, that's a certain capacity. But when we're talking about the fullness of Christ, it's immeasurable. And he's taking the measurement and he's taking it and he's dipping down into the fullness of the measure of the deity of Christ. Whoa. Of the grace of God of Christ. To the abilities of Christ, the omniscience, the omnipotence, to everything that when we see him in heaven, what we're seeing now about the love of Christ and all of that, that's just a foretaste. So verses 1 through 12 is helping us to realize this is what God's wanting us to do here and now. But for us to take that as an entry level to understand this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the what? Somewhere beyond the blue. And not only that, the fullness of Christ will be all in all. One more verse. Understanding that we henceforth be no more children. If you know what God's trying to do in your life, and you know what he's trying to do in your life in the here and now, but he gives you the encouragement as you walk along that journey and as you understand God has something he wants me to accomplish in this life. I may be intimidated by life. I may be with this and I may have that or I may not have this or have that. But God has something for me to do. And because of that, there's a measure of the gift of Christ. But you know what? This world is not all there is. And what I'm doing now, okay, let's think about it. He says, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, of that shall he also reap. Okay? For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap what? We talked about it this morning. But he that soweth to the Spirit with the measure of the gift of Christ. And the Spirit guides us into all truth. How do you use that? The right time to use it, where to use it. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap what? Life everlasting. If you look it up in the original language, it literally means, and if you look at life everlasting, that's in the singular. Translated literally, it's life into the ages. I've mentioned that before, I believe, and it's in the plural. When we're taking the gift that God's given us into the measure and we don't go, oh, I spilled some of that with a bad attitude. Ah, I bumped against it and some of it dropped out because of a delay in obedience. No, but when you have a young person or an elderly lady or a gentleman, anywhere in between that says, wait a minute, God wants to use me? Why? I don't understand it. Join the club. None of us understand why he would want to use us. But to God be the glory, he wants to. Amen or no? Amen. Oh, amen. Can we do that again? God wants to use us. Amen or no?
Amen.
And I'm not just trying to get, that deserves a second stanza. But when we understand what we're doing right now is not just for right here and now, that if we're sowing to the Spirit, that continues on into the ages, the church age, the millennial age, and into the eternal age. Let's finish it out and we'll have our men to go then. That we being henceforth no more children tossed to and fro. No, let's don't do that. And carried about with every wind of doctrine by the slight. See, he went from the here and now to the eternal, and now he's back to the here and now. And the things that would discourage us and the things that would detour us from investing into eternity in the right here and now. He's saying that here are the would-be destroyers of that. Children. And tossed to, not children, but acting like children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, by the cunning of craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Oh, my goodness. These are the marauders that come in, and they're riding on their steeds, and they have nothing but damage and control in mind. Their laugh is heinous as they ride in, and they're doing nothing but to destroy everything that is good and right. And that's verse number 14. But let's get back on the right path. And that begins with verse number 15. So, with all of that, we're going to ask our brethren to come. I'm looking forward to this. I've been looking forward to it. I thought we were going to get to it last week, but we didn't do it. And I didn't say anybody's name last week, and so that you wouldn't be sweating bullets or in Anchorage by this time this week. So we're going to come, and does everyone remember who has 15? Who's 16? 16? 16, 17. 18? 18. 19? 20? 21? 22, I think. Oh, back there. All right, okay. And so we'll just go in order. And you're 23. Sorry about that. We just didn't like you, brother. All right. All right. Okay. I almost said bingo. All right. 24. Do we have a 25? All right. I'm not looking at my list. All right. Very good. Very good. All right. So here we go. I'm just going to ask you to come. If it takes 5 seconds or however long it takes, but maybe not take quite as long as I do, all right? Be better at being brief. But we're asking you to help us. This is not just an exercise in getting people involved. Okay, that's not it at all. But it's an exercise in hearing the word from different individuals, different men, so that I can glean from this. So while you're doing that, I'm going to sit with my sweetheart, because I want to learn from the Word of God as well. All right, so Brother Mills, I believe you're first. And if you'll come on to the pulpit, please.
Brother Allen, I see what you meant last Sunday. I believe it was. He said, standing up here, it's a whole different scary than down there. So, warn you men. I have verse 15. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So as you look at the verses here, it's connected to the verse before. It's a contrast. The verse before that Pastor covered are some things not to do. And isn't it nice then you get to be told, well, I shouldn't do this. I shouldn't be like a children. I shouldn't do this. But, okay, this now tells me what I can do. I hate somebody telling me not to do something, and then I don't know what to do. That happens too often, I guess. So going on, they're not to be like children, tossed to and fro, but, and there's that connector word there, speaking the truth in love. And in there I see two commands that we are to do. Number one, we're to speak the truth. Amen. And when it comes back to anything else, where's the truth? You know, if someone asked me, I heard years ago Larry Burkett, who I always enjoyed listening to, Christian Financial Concepts, if you're too young to remember him, he's with the Lord now, but he said that he had a lot of the counseling he did was because people had with problems had gone to all their Christian friends, and their Christian friends had given them their best advice, but it wasn't God's advice, and got them in trouble, and so he had to teach them. So if I don't have something to say that's not based on this, I best keep my mouth shut, and I should remember that more often. But so there's truth. I speak the truth, but speaking it in love, you know. We can speak the truth and not in love. And I'll have to admit, I've done that, not to take too long here, but years ago in a church situation, and hopefully I was younger and not as, I was a little more stupid then than I am now, but at that time there was a disagreement, and I talked to a brother, and I told him the truth, but I didn't do it in an attitude of love. And the Lord convicted me of that. I had to quickly go back, say back to the brother, ask his forgiveness. I said, you know, what I said was the truth. That was God's word, how it applies to this situation. But I said, I had the wrong attitude. I didn't say it in an attitude of love. And there's some other scriptures I love that I won't go to now, but enforce that. When we're witnessing, we can drive people away by having a condemning attitude instead of an attitude of love. I can speak truth. I can speak, need to speak the truth to them, but I need to do it in an attitude of love. And so, I don't know. I need to work on that, but I hope all of us are working on that. But that, okay, we're speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things. So we're supposed to be growing. You know, I hope that I'm not the same. You know, the Lord uses things in our lives. And again, I just thinking of this, Romans 8, 28 and 29. He's going to use it for good. And look at, if you've gone through, we grow most when we're going through hardships. And God makes us cry out to him and look to his word. And I thank him for those times. And it says in all things. I have that circled in red in my Bible. I'm a scribbler and a writer in my Bible. And pretty soon, every time I read a verse, I underline or scribble or write, circle another place, and pretty soon it's all written on. But we may grow up, and that should be all of our goal, to be growing in Christ and Christ-likeness. And I appreciated the message this morning that we had to be conformed, to die daily to Jesus Christ and say, Lord, what do you want to do today? How do you want me to grow today? What do you want to? So we want to be all growing in all things and not just part, which is the head, even Christ. Again, relating back to the section here, which is the head is in control, right? That's who directs what's going on. And Christ should be the head of my life, of every one of our lives. I'll stop there. Amen.
Well, I'll certainly agree with Brother Arlen that it's different to stand up here and speak any words. So my hat's off to you, Pastor, that you do this week in, week out. I don't know how you do it. But my verse is verse number 16. And, you know, as I read it, I'm reminded very much of what Brother Allen said last week when he gave his testimony, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So, you know, it starts off with from whom, meaning Christ. So the whole body comes together from Christ. That's it. We're joined together in Christ, from Christ, whichever way that you want to put it, but that's the thing that brings us all together, is him. And then it says, fitly joined together. The I guess, you know, the join together part, we could look at it and say, you know, it's not just that we here are joined together, but we're looking to have other people join together with us. And of course, we want to bring everybody together well. We want to, you know, everything needs to fit together in harmony. And we're all kept together. We're compacted. You know, that has the idea of keeping something together, holding something together. So there's a force that's at work that's holding us all together. And of course, the force ultimately is God, is the force that holds us all together. But that's God working through all of us and having us all make our contributions. And of course, it leads into that, by that which every joint supplieth. You know, so each one of us is a part of the church. As Alan said last week, you know, that even the smallest things make a difference. It adds to that force that joins us all together. And so every little contribution there is important to bring us together in the first place, and to hold us together, and to continue bringing more people into the body of the church. And of course, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. So everyone here has some contribution to make. You know, I enjoy, you know, week in, week out in the services, making what contributions I can with the live stream and things like that. That's where the Lord gave me talents, where I'm able to do things like that. The Lord didn't supply me with a singing voice. The Lord didn't supply me with the ability to preach. The Lord did supply me with the ability to teach, but not things scripturally. I teach people how to do things with audio and video and technology and things like that. So I'm very used to teaching on that subject, but certainly not on something spiritual. But the point being is we all have talents of some kind. We all have some contribution to make, and that's what Paul's talking about here. And so we all work in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So all of us working together, using our talents for the good of the church, strengthens the church. You know, so that's the word edifying means strengthening, and we strengthen ourselves in love. I mean, so we continue to have strong fellowship with each other. We love one another. We care for one another. We come alongside each other during difficult times, and we're there for each other when difficult things happen. Someone needs to move. Someone needs their house. Something goes wrong with their house. Something like that. Someone from the church is there to help out. So it's all a cooperative effort, strengthening ourselves. And I'm sorry to go on so long, but this was a big verse. I was blessed with the largest verse in here that talked about so many topics. So thank you.
Amen.
Well, I've got verse 17, and it's a short verse, but it carries a lot. It says, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind." And the first part of that stuck out at me was the vanity of their mind. And some of you know, I work on the telephone day in and day out, talking to people. And I call this generation the me generation, because everything is me. Doesn't matter what. I don't know how many times the operators in our office have sat there and looked at each other and said, "How many times can somebody ask me the same question over and over?" And the same answer that everybody has is because it's not my answer. It's not what I wanted. And we see this over and over again. You walk down the street, you see that constantly. You know, as we walk in the generation that we're in. But the other thing that it brought me to was back in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2. And here's what the real vanity is talking. He's talking about, where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And anybody that works with the public knows where people are walking nowadays. If it's not with the prince of darkness, I don't know who in the world it is, because it's a mess out there. Everything you want to see is there. Any kind of perversion you want to find, it's there. And you don't have to look. It's not hidden anymore. It's out in the open. You know, as I think back 50 years ago, you wouldn't have seen some of the things you've seen in the open right now. I mean, it was well hidden. But they don't care. And it's just that vanity of their own mind. It's what I want. I don't care what anybody else says. It's what I want. We can't be that way. Not if we're going to be something for Christ.
Thank you, men. This is very encouraging to me. I, you know my excitement I get when we open the scriptures and we get to look at it together. My verse follows on the tail of the one Brother Earl had here. Verse 18, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Very first word there, present, having. These people currently have understanding. Now, I've explained this before. Basically, the sequence of knowledge being a foundation, and on top of knowledge, just simply knowing facts, knowing a truth. Brother Arlen referenced truth. Knowledge exists, but then on top of that is understanding, the relationship of knowledge. And then we can build on top of that wisdom and then discretion and so forth. But similar to my work, I can start with raw data. That's simply letters of the alphabet, if you will. It's ones and zeros in computer systems. It's by itself nothing of value. Compiled together then becomes information. We can do things. I look at a lot of information. Spiritually, we have a lot of information. But then we go to the highest level, and that is information with value is intelligence. Look at this verse again, if you will, and I will try to be so short. Having the understanding darkened, that understanding there, I understand to be the intelligence of the mind. We have people here being referenced having. They have something in this present state. It's not that they are without it. That they have a legitimate excuse and they never had this understanding that apparently got darkened. You don't have to turn there, but my mind goes to Romans chapter 1. So much we could see there, but it says in Romans 1:28, talking about these bad, bad, corrupt people, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Convenient doesn't have the idea of easily accessible. In today's usage of the word, convenient, when used in the Bible, has the idea of with benefit. If things aren't convenient for me or for you, they're things that don't provide benefit to you and to me. So quickly, here in Ephesians, these people that are walking in the vanity of their mind that Brother Earl referenced have understanding that they need to. They have that high degree of information with value about things that are right, but it got darkened. And they were then, as a result of that, they were then alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. If any one of us ever falls prey to the temptations in life that would lead us away from the light of God's truth, to then be darkened in our thinking. Now again, context here is talking about those other Gentiles, okay? That's the warning here. But in practice, we can become carnal and live as a Christian like the other Gentiles. That's the admonition that I see here. We can reject that and it gets darkened. And then we are subsequently, or as a result, alienated from the life of God. Aliens, we tend to think of as, that's kind of a fringe group of people that thinks of weird. But what is an alien? It's a stranger. It's an unknown. It's somebody that's not related to the things that we know, people are made strange from the life of God. And it is through the ignorance. Again, ignorance can be one of two things. Accidental ignorance, I just simply did not know. It can be intentional. I ignored something that I intentionally chose to reject. And I believe that's the usage here, because they were given illumination. They were given truth. Someone probably had shared the truth in love with them. And they said, that's not for me. That's somebody we go to their door and knock on the door. Excuse me, I am in no way trying to be invasive into your private life, but I care enough about you to just share a little bit of truth with you if you have just a moment. Door slams. Get your fingers out of the way. They rejected it completely. Those people, and I'm not speaking condescendingly of them, but this is laying out for us what's happened. They are alienating. They are making themselves strange and far away from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. And again, there's so much that could be unpackaged here. I don't want to say it's contradictory, but it's almost paradoxical, if you will, that what we're trying to help these folks with is their darkness and their blindness. But they're so blind and darkened that they don't see that we're trying to help them. This is why it is most important that in our testimony, as has been preached and taught recently through pastors' very diligent efforts, that our testimony helps set the stage, helps bring a little bit of light to that darkness, helps establish, helps lay, till up the dirt, if you will, and get that ready for the planting of the truth, that if we will listen to what Brother Arlen relayed to us, I'm going to bring some truth, but I'm not going to force it down your throat, if I can say that respectfully here. I'm going to bring it to you packaged in love. And so, again, I don't want to steal from what someone else's thoughts here, but there is a responsibility here. And I think Romans is a great commentary on this element of God gives us what we need. He lighteth every man that cometh into the world. I'm adamantly against any elements of Calvinism because of the attacks on the character of God. He gives us what we need. It is then upon us to respond accordingly to it. But ye are our epistle seen and read of all men. Our testimony is of utmost importance, that if we as Christians, God's children, reject God's truth, maybe doctrinally in theory or in the classroom or in a service, but in practice, did we get this engaged? People are watching, they're observing. And if we shun biblical authority in some capacity, people will shun the truth when we try to get it to them. And it's most important we do what we can to honor the Lord. So those are just some spontaneous thoughts as I look at that. What a rich book Ephesians is. So whoever has verse 19.
Well, I'll start by saying, Pastor, if I get anything wrong in this text, you correct me right now so nobody misunderstands the Word of God. Who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness in their greediness. Of course, you go back to Jesse's verse before that, and that leads into this. And like Jesse, I thought of Romans. And I want to zero in on uncleanness. Verse 24 in chapter 1 of Romans. Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. I believe that's what we're seeing in the world today. The devil is working. He knows his time's short. And there's a lot of evil people out there that are past feeling. It says they're being past feeling, and they give themselves over to lasciviousness. That's greed, I believe. Somebody that's a good English person here. What's lasciviousness? I think that's greediness. Is that right? Yeah, sexual greediness, I guess. Anyway, their past feeling. How can you abort your baby? That's past feeling. That's lasciviousness. And that's just one area in the world. Look what Putin's doing. I mean, he's killing people for what? I don't even think he knows what he's doing. He thinks he knows what he's doing it for, but the devil has other plans for him and those that follow him. It says they work all uncleanness with greediness. Greed, and you go back to Romans where it says they were unclean because of their hearts. Well, that's what God saves us from. He changes our heart. I just think back when he changed mine.
Amen. Thank you.
We've got a problem in verse 20. But you're not learning Christ. You have not so learned Christ. The whole problem with what these other men have been talking about, what the scripture's saying. The whole problem is you don't know the love of Christ.
That's it. Yeah.
You don't know the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
You don't know about his grace.
Yeah.
How sufficient it is if you would just turn your life over to Christ.
Yeah.
You haven't learned it. And the sad thing about our society today, when it comes to spiritual things, there are many people who have examined everything they've learned about the Lord Jesus Christ, but have never experienced it in their own personal life. The problem we're talking about here in Ephesians 4:20, the contrast.
That's right.
The problem is, spiritually you think you're okay. Spiritually you think because of what you're doing is all right. But you never learn the love of the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you don't know him in your heart. That's the problem that they were facing here in this passage of Scripture. And then also, they've never experienced, like the pastor was talking about earlier, the full measure of Christ, of all that he gives and all that he's capable of. Back over in verse 13, unto the perfect man, unto the measure, the statutes, and the fullness of Christ. Get a hold of him. You'll learn about him.
Good evening. Fortunately for you, I've been given another segue verse. What's that?
We have our Bible.
You have your Bible? Good.
Yeah.
If you do not have your Bible, shame on you. But, there's a history there, Pastor, I'll tell you. As Brother Ron just mentioned here, it's a new sentence, a new thought in contrast. So he says, but ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that you have heard him,
Now, this is, of course, a verse that is assuming, but the assumption is a safe one. It's leaning more towards, well, I know that you have, or in other words, you know, since you have heard him. Now, that's not just him personally speaking. Of course, that could be true, given the context and all that. But in the greater context of the text of being in the body of Christ and now being saints and being members of this church in Ephesus, if you have been where there has been preaching or teaching or studying of the Word of God, you have heard him. If you have his Spirit indwelling you, you have heard him. If so be that you have heard him, if you are one of the ones who have been learning of him and have been taught by him, also not just sitting down again face to face with Jesus, which will happen one day, which will be great. Some of these men have, the disciples and apostles specifically, had that opportunity and privilege on the earth, but now we still may be taught by him in the same methods as we sit under preaching and teaching of the Word of God, and as we engage in personal study of the Word of God and the fellowship with the Spirit, we can be taught by him, but it's also understood to be taught in him, right? The context of us being here together are in him, in the body of Christ. Now, this is in reference to, of course, the unity that is in Christ. If we are, again, washed by the blood of Christ, we are saved individuals, we are members of his body, we are in him, we are taught that way. And again, as Brother Ron said, this is in opposition to what's been previously stated. This is as the truth is in Jesus. Now, I did cheat a little bit because I thought from a previous, I don't have notes in this Bible, but I thought this was the case, so I peeked. In this case here, truth does not have that definite article here, just as Pastor mentioned a little while ago. So the truth here is truth in general, as in its essence, truth, or as a quality of truth that is undeniable. Truth is something that is undeniable. It is the standard by which we measure all other information. We know that all of the everything that is true, that is relevant to us, that matters at all, is in Christ, or in Jesus, in him and his person. He is the way, the truth, the life. But also, as we are resting in him, and as we live in him, as in the fellowship and in the unity with the brethren, in the body of Christ, that is where we get truth, that we can then have understanding and move on from there. But, simple enough, a segue verse. So if so be that ye have heard him, which we have, it's assumed to be true, and have been taught by him or in him in the context of the church here in the body of Christ. And what we have learned and what we do continue to learn is simply truth. Truth that can come from no other source but from Jesus. Now what we do with this is to be determined by the next person up here. But again, this is a segue. We're doing this is all in contrast to the other people, right? Those that did not have Christ, those that had their understanding darkened. It says, and also in verse 14, it says, whereby they lie and wait to deceive. They are deceptive, which again is the opposite of truth. So we are seeing a contrast from those that are in the darkness, those that are in deception and truth and their vile living or lasciviousness and all those things and their uncleanness and greediness. In opposition to that or in contrast to that, we learn truth. We learn from the truth, by the truth, and we rest in the truth. And what that means for us in a practical sense is the next verse.
All right, Brother Danny and the other two men, will you forgive me if we wait until next Sunday night to continue that? All right.
I'm shorter.
You're shorter. All right. How many of you are, well, I won't put up to a vote, we'll just do this. Because he is right. We're at a place where it's going to change direction. And it's going to change the direction that takes everything. And I was hoping we'd kind of get finished, but this has been excellent. Amen or no? It's been excellent. I could even hear from the live stream, folks. It was excellent. Matter of fact, I better not do this too often or I'll get fired. The teaching was excellent. It really was. It was very, very well done, and especially in the format that we did. But what's been taught already, as we started out with positive and the gifts and all of that, and then it went to, well, wait a minute. Now here's this is a contrast here. But then he came back, but then he went back to the alienated and all of that. And now it's going to go back and make a direct application to the believers in Christ in the present world. And so we're going to look at that, Lord willing, next Sunday night then, okay? And I apologize, but I know we have young children and they need to get in bed and things like that. So we'll wait. Gentlemen, thank you. Ladies that sang in the Becoming Ensemble, thank you very much. Wasn't that a blessing? Amen. It's been a good night. And it was a blessing for me just sitting there, not because of not teaching or anything, but just hearing it from a different perspective. And what a blessing that was. Well, if you're blessed of heart and ready to go home, if you'll join me in standing. All right, well, you're blessed in heart, not wanting to go home. All right, I like that idea. All right. Oh, no, they're standing now. All right. Okay, well, good, good. And to those who cannot be here, and we have some of our shut-ins that are not able to. We found out about one lady this morning, and 98 years old. Miss Carver, yes. And Becky and I will be going to visit her. We'll give her a call here in the next little while. But she's been in the hospital. And because she left her phone at home, was not able to contact anyone. And so we just found out yesterday or today that was the case. So we're going to go check on her here in the next day or so. And but for others that are not with us tonight, we miss seeing you here and hope that you'll come and be here in the time when we're together and fellowshipping. And the Bible says, where there is no wood, the fire goeth out. So anytime the devil would do whatever he can to infiltrate the joy, the peace that God wants to have in this ministry, we want to take that wood out. Amen? Whether it's an attitude or an action or an ambition, whatever it is, let's notice it and say, that doesn't belong here. That just does not belong. And we get rid of it. And we'll watch as God continues to work. Amen. Amen. Becky and I are privileged to be here. And we're just looking forward to what God's going to do. We'll have a word of prayer. And gentlemen, Brother Larry and the ones who were not Brother Danny. I think there was one more. Oh, Brother Allen. And Brother Allen, if you want to go ahead and do it after we're dismissed, you go right ahead, okay? All right. No. You're not getting out of it like that. That was too well received. All right. But he'll be first on the list, or I don't know who's first next time. Yes, sir.
If we're going to stay on that format, maybe the ladies can sing for us again.
Oh.
All the ladies.
All the ladies. All right. You really want me to get into hot water, don't you? All right. That's not a bad idea. All right. Maybe we'll have a mixed ensemble. All right. Maybe we'll do that. Do you enjoy that? It is. It's a blessing. And those who volunteer, and I know some of you are very quiet and timid folks, and yet you do it anyway. And thank you. You're being used to the Lord in our lives. Thank you for being with us today. Let's dismiss in a word of prayer. Please be careful going home. Live stream folks, if you're still with us, thank you for being with us. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the privilege of being able to sit and hear your word taught by these men. And Lord, in similar fashion, it's what they can do in their family devotions with their own families. They don't have to be away from Bible or at Bible college. If they went to Bible college, that's a very good thing. Been there for a lot. But they don't have to be from Bible college to rightly divide the word, as they've done tonight. And so their families are benefited by their exercising again tonight, as I'm sure they do with their own families. But Father, as they've helped all the rest of us tonight, especially for me, what a blessing as I've heard the different aspects. Some of it I've not thought of before. So I thank you for that, Lord. I pray now as we're dismissed that different settings are in different lives here. And you said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. So I'm asking you, Father, for wisdom, not to be dispensed to me necessarily, because I'm not in all of their circumstances. Be glad to be if they need me, if they need Becky. But, Father, many things are going to happen this week and are currently engaged in their lives and issues of life in which they need your wisdom. Would you do that for them, please, Lord? I know you love them that much. And if they'll just come before you and say, Lord, I need a good dose of wisdom here, Father, I know that you'll do it because you love them. But would you also dismiss us with thy blessing? Well, thank you for it and love you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good night. The Lord blesses your dismissal. Now make sure you greet one another in the Lord, all right?